Colonel Fetherby, Reel 12. Now, how exactly did you and the other honorary colonels work together? Did you actually meet?
Yes, we met with a number of old South officers, including the old Comrades Association and those that had an interest in the South Knots as a whole, and we made certain representations to gunners that we knew, and commanders that we knew, and put forward the arguments that we were strong numerically, we were in one drill hall, we were yeomanry, and we were enthusiastic and loyal to the gunners, etc.
And this was all that, I mean, you targeted these arguments on the thing that you would get a battery, that you'd become a battery in 100 Regiment.
Yes.
And thus, yes. Did you directly attack the Sussex Yeomanry?
No.
So it was, you carried out the argument by raising the profile and arguments of the South Knots Hussars, not by attacking the poor recruitment record of the Sussex Yeomanry. But it would be obvious, people could draw their own conclusions.
That's right. I mean, there was a suggestion that at one time that they would also move the headquarters of 100 Regiment from London to Leicester, I think it was, but that never came off. And then it would have looked at a more central location within the regimental area for 100 Regiment. That didn't happen. We eventually were appointed the 3rd Battery of 100 Regiment. And were equipped with FH-70. Now, FH-70 is a large gun, towed gun, which required the rebuilding of all the accommodation at the back of the drill hall, which cost £1.5 million.
Now, let's look at the gun first. This was I'm not very familiar with these guns.
FH-70.
What type of gun was that?
That was a field artillery medium gun.
And
155 millimetre.
And was this this would demand an enormous amount of retraining as well as
No, it wouldn't require an awful lot of retraining because all of the equipment attached to the gun, like the sighting, the technical ability to fire it, would be the same. The signals would be the same. It is just a question of the soldiers getting used to a much bigger gun and a much bigger towing vehicle.
So, not as much as you thought. Now, the rebuilding, that 1.5 million suggests it was.
That was a fairly substantial rebuild.
What had to be done?
Well, all the gun sheds and the vehicle sheds were designed for 25 pounders. And of course, the gun was twice the length, or at least twice the length of a 25 pounder, and the vehicles were about twice as long as well for towing. So, you know, and there were other systems. There were ammunition systems and drops vehicles and all this kind of thing, which were different. So that took quite a long time to organise.
What, years or?
It took 18 months to rebuild the drill hall.
Any other ramifications of your what was the official title now? Was it 3rd Battery South Knots Hussars, 100 Regiment?
It was 307 Battery South Knots Hussars, as before. But not observation. That had gone, you see, from the title.
And you still had the RHA tucked away in it.
Yeah.
And you were the 3rd Battery. Were you pleased with this outcome?
Yes.
In some ways, it's more what you'd have wanted than originally wanted.
I mean, there's a lot to be said for being part of a regiment than being an independent battery. An independent battery can slip away from the order of battle without really being noticed if you're not careful. Whereas being part of 100 Regiment, which is a yeomanry regiment, it's got yeomanry in its title, and therefore we were much happier with that.
So it's 100 Regiment Yeomanry Royal Artillery. Is that the fish tongue? And what about your relationship with the other batteries? How close are they? Not personally, obviously, but I mean, because I mean.
Well, one of them is the Beds and Hearts, and they're in St Albans, I think, and other areas. For the life of me, I can't think of the title of the third battery. It's not the S60.
There are three batteries, are there?
The Beds and Hearts, and one other.
So perhaps the relationship isn't that close with them.
They have been formed into 100 Regiment from 1969, I think.
So in a sense, this is what you'd originally asked for in your letter.
They didn't like losing Sussex Yeomen and making the South Not Stars. Yeah, that's right.
You'd asked to be, I think it was a different size gun, a 105 you'd asked for, but was there any friction because of this, you know, their pals from the Sussex had gone?
Yes, initially, but...
In what ways did it show itself?
Well, I mean, I think they were just a general feeling that they were not terribly happy with what had happened to their regiment, that we'd come in and somebody else had gone out, that they'd been soldiering with for some considerable number of years.
Did that has dissipated now then?
Yes.
What about the command structure of 100 Regiment and who provided the sort of command of the regiment and how did you relate with that?
The 100 Regiment, commanded by, at that time, in the first instance that we joined them, a regular lieutenant colonel with a regular adjutant and a regular training major. And RSM. So it was well staffed with regular soldiers. It had the three batteries and an RHQ battery down. The headquarters was in Luton, I think, and Grove Park it was. And they, of course, were within the gunner command underneath the Director of Royal Artillery. So that was their tactical command structure. We had territorial battery commanders, and we did not have a regular battery commander, although Arnold Forster had been regular at one time in his career. And that's how it worked.
Just to take it up to the present, there's some more points. Has it been a success, would you say, the battery, the new battery, the new gun, and the part of 100 Regiment?
Yes, it has, and yes, we have, I think, done quite a good job for them, but of course we've now changed once again, although we are in 100 Regiment still, we have the light gun, 105mm light gun, and of course the role of the regiment is really to create reinforcement to the affiliated regular regiment rather than go off to war as a complete unit.
So that wasn't the case originally when you were a battery. You were intended to go off to war as 307 battery, as part of wherever 100 essentially.
Yeah, we would have gone with 100. Wherever 100 regiment went, we would have gone with them. But the actual strength of the batteries, the three batteries in 100 Regiment, has now been changed. And its emphasis is more on reinforcing the regular regiment. And indeed, we are reinforcing 1st RHA in the event of conflict.
So this is back to what you have some sympathy with this.
I have some sympathy with that view, because I think that... It ensures, or it should ensure, that the regular regiment to whom you are attached provides sufficient training and personnel to make it an efficient organisation, because it's in their interest to have as an efficient TA organisation to whom they are attached, or vice versa, as possible.
They also, some people have now, the change in the Act recently under this Labour administration, there has been a change so that territorials can be called up as individuals.
Yes.
To serve.
Yes.
And that you also are in favour of, or not?
Yes. Yes. I mean, if you're going to have this kind of all one army, as the regulars like to try and keep on saying, it's all one army, you've got to have people in it who are prepared to go and serve.
Now, what about the introduction of women? Now, I'm not familiar with when this happened, but it's certainly the case now. There are women officers and other. But I believe you mentioned earlier, off tape, that it had happened earlier. What about the introduction of women soldiers?
The women were recruited in the ABR 3 days, and I had one female officer, Gillian Hines, and I think the establishment was 15 girls who were very good girls, but it seems to me that there has been quite a dramatic change in the girls that we have in the regiment now, in the battery now, than those that we recruited in those days. I mean, I suppose it's a different ball game now, because girls are much tougher than they were. You see it with the girls being in the Army Air Force, who can be quite as tough as the lads. Those girls who originally joined the South Knots in 1967 did tend to collapse when it got cold. And you know, we did have a lot of trouble with them physically in those days. Nowadays, the girls we've got in the battery are quite as capable of looking after themselves as the soldiers. Indeed, we have one bombardier, number one in charge of a gun, who is really quite an interesting character. And, you know, one could write a book about her history.
Are there problems caused by the introduction of female personnel?
Not really. I mean, life is now when all organisations tend to have women in positions of authority, that I suppose men and women are used to working together. I don't think there are any particular problems.
Any moral issues?
Well, yes, you do get that. I mean, we had that with the band, where we had a little nonsense where one of the regular instructors in the band managed to fall out with his wife over one of the band members, and they subsequently married, and I still actually still see them. But I mean, you're going to get that in industry, you get that in civilian life. It's just one of those things. The Army tends to take a moral high ground in all these matters, and I think if they were perhaps were slightly more relaxed about it, a lot of these problems wouldn't get into the press.
Are they expected to go into action in the front line, female personnel, but either in 67 or now?
Well, they weren't in 67 when they were home defence. It would have only been in a home defence role. Now, the attitude is changing. I don't think you would get a girl in a frontline infantry regiment, but we can recruit girls into the South Knots now, and I think they'll do a good job.
Is there you have a woman OP officer, could she be sent to Bosnia, as things stand now?
I don't know technically, but I think she probably would have a go, knowing her.
Are you personally in favour of it, or against female personnel, or no strong opinion?
I've no strong opinions about it. I mean, I think that the girls themselves, to some extent, will say they have some problems. I mean, if you get extremely heavy work with a weapons system that requires a considerable amount of lifting, and then they might have difficulties. But generally speaking, they seem to cope somehow or other.
Now, just other general points. This question of officers drinking at summer camp, which I think, you know, you described in the 50s as sort of slightly excessive approach by some officers, but not any different from other units, as you saw it. Did that taper off, either personally or as a unit?
I think they still have their moments.
So it is still quite a hard-drinking unit?
I think it's a fairly hard-drinking unit, yes.
Do you still join in or did you join in when you were colonel, more perhaps?
Yes.
So things didn't change much.
Although, of course, colonels and honorary colonels are supposed to get to bed at a sensible hour and not stay up until the bitter end. That's bad form. You've got to get let their hair down.
Anything else about what about the relationship as when you were honorary colonel, perhaps with the the Regimental Association? Were there any problems or benefits?
I've always found the Regimental Association a very well worth organisation, thoroughly supporting the South Knots, and go out of their way to be as helpful as possible. And indeed, they run the journal and they run some entertainment for the battery. No,
you're a member of it, of course.
Yeah. Vice president or something. Yeah.
What? Any other points you'd like to raise about that your time as honorary colonel? Any other major issues came up?
No, I don't think so. No. Yeah.
What about your succession? Because it's not the same now, is it?
It's not the same now. I mean, when the South Knots Hussars was a yeomanry regiment, we were entitled to an honorary colonel. When we became a battery as part of 100 Regiment, we were told that we could not have an honorary colonel for the simple reason that gunners don't have honorary colonels. Not in the accepted sense of the word. They are honorary colonels appointed by the Master Gunner, and therefore we don't call Tim Richmond, who is our senior honorary colonel.
He succeeded to you.
He succeeded to me, yes.
And he's
carried out the same role as an honorary colonel.
And you still consult when the old boys set.
Yes, we all get together every so often, and if we have a problem.
Are there any problems that you're aware of facing the battery at the moment?
Well, I don't think we're totally satisfied with the reinforcement role, because the numbers of officers and other ranks are getting to a position where it is below critical mass. I mean, I think we would say, if we were being totally honest about it, that you really want something like 15 to 20 officers in an officer's mess and about 150 to 200 soldiers to make it a really good unit. We are now down to, I think it's something like 10 or 11 officers if we're at full strength, and 90-odd soldiers. And if they're not careful, they will get it dropping below a critical mass.
So this isn't a matter of failure of recruitment, in a sense. Your establishment is low.
Right. And so we were at one time allowed to recruit 110 or 115%. I think there's a stop on us now, recruiting over the establishment. So, in view of the fact that there are always about a third of soldiers in the process of leaving or becoming disillusioned, your actual fighting strength at the weekend is getting actually too low.
And I think one thing that the government will do, ultimately, if there is any more money in the defence budget at any time, try and increase the numbers to a more reasonable limit. Now, the other thing that, of course, we've got is the trouble with the band.
What's that?
The last change, the band was disbanded, along with a number of other bands in the territorial order of battle. They reduced them by 50%, although they, in fact, are trained as medical orderlies. And in view of the fact that the medical services in the territorial and regular army are under strength, one would have thought that it would have been sensible to have transferred all the bandsmen in those bands that were disbanded into the army, Royal Army Medical Corps, and instead of that, they in fact struck them out of the order of battle completely. Now, we had an extremely good band. It's highly thought of. It plays at concerts in Nottingham, it plays in civic functions, it is taken by global authorities in parks and all the rest of it, and it's an extremely good recruiting and public relations organisation. Now, when we were faced with having no band, again we kept them on, and what we have been able to do, and Tim Richmond was instrumental in doing this, and we'll tell you all about it, we have been able to get a certain number of places allocated in the Army Cadet Force as paid, and a certain number of places within the regiment, that's the 100 regiment, allocated to the band. So we have now got a band of approximately 20, 25 or 26 who are still blowing as a band.
But they're not medical orderlies anymore?
Well, I think they're going to have to perhaps... I don't know quite what their background is to that. They're probably not going to be medical orderlies. Strictly speaking, those that are with 100 regiments, if you like, the 12 positions, should presumably be gunners. Those that are in the Army Cadet Force are just Army Cadet Force, and they don't have to have a medical background. What, in fact, the band is doing is training Army Cadet Force junior musicians. So there is a raison d'etre for having them, but it's a little bit tenuous at the edges. So that's the plot at the moment, and it is beginning to pull itself round. It did have a lot of problems with it to start with.
Any other problems?
No, I don't think so.
So anything else you'd like to say? After you became colonel, honorary colonel, you packed up in 1994, anything since then, any responsibilities since then?
No.
So you're retired from the South, except for these informal briefing sessions.
Yeah.
Has it all been worthwhile?
Well, yes, I've thoroughly enjoyed my time. I mean, I have been on occasions that perhaps I would never have ever seen. If I haven't been in the TA, we've had some splendid dinners, we've been on some exercises that have been very good, Marengo particularly, which was a divisional exercise. I've met an awful lot of people, met an awful lot of soldiers that I'm still very friendly with, yes, I think it's been worthwhile.
Sort of 40 years on of training or preparing for war, did you ever want to test yourself out in war, or were you happy that everything stayed fairly quiet?
I wanted to go to war. But one would have coped if necessary, I suppose, like everybody else. Who else?
Thank you very much.